since it's 5 o'clock.
That was the beginning of the end.
That was the beginning of the end.
It's gonna be able to go back.
I think we'll call the meeting to order since it's 5 o'clock. Has everyone had a chance to read the minutes that were sent out? And can I get a motion to approve the minutes?
I move to approve.
I'll second it.
Okay, any other discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Who's opposed? Okay, motion passes. Are there any comments from the public? Okay, the main order of business tonight is to discuss the commissioner's visit last week and next steps for the commission from there. Did everyone have a chance to review this a little bit? The materials that were handed out last week and comments on those or thoughts? Some of the materials that went along with last week's meeting with the minutes were the agreement between the St. Cloud Police and kind of 11 agencies, and then something from the city of Minneapolis, and then Jill, you had sent, included, what's the big document that you have there?
Well, I have searching for sanctuary, analysis of America's counties and their voluntary system with deportations.
Okay, and that was all included in the packet for the meeting last time.
Yep, and you know, you did a good job too at sending it out electronically, right? So we have it under her.
A little bit in between.
She sent out an email.
Yep. Okay. So the main purpose tonight would be to discuss what, if anything, this commission should recommend city council. Or do we engage the police chief again and have another discussion with the police department, or what would be the next steps that the commission should take? What are the members feeling?
Well, I think that meeting with the police again would be a very good idea, and I think the fear that's out there, and it's I want to make sure that we are clear on what the police are doing or what they intend to do or might do, and so we can maybe provide a, would be that conduit that we are to get that information to them and let them know maybe some of the things that we've heard about the fear of calling for help, and when there might be something going on, they're afraid to call because they're afraid they're going to get taken away, or there might be somebody in their house that is undocumented, or, you know, how are they handling it? What do they do? I think they've met with us before, but I think it was prior to November 8th.
Right.
And I had questions, you know, even looking over all this information, how can we know about what is the status of our country, or county, what is the, you know, the procedure that we have, you know, what is our relationship to ICE? And I don't know the answer to any of those questions.
I was looking at some of this stuff, and I think one of the things I think we should do is maybe just educate the council and tell them what we have available through the Minnesota Department of Human Resources as far as contact offices in St. Cloud and who can contact them and that sort of thing. One of the things I kind of remember is even the undocumented worker can make or undocumented citizen can make a complaint to the Human Rights Commission. I think those are some things that we should share with the council, because it is broadcast and I'm hearing a lot of people listen to that. So I think it would be good to share what's available through this the Human Rights Department, and then just do some of that.
Are you talking about this one?
Right, right.
We got so many things from Mr. Lindsay, so it's this one?
Yeah, this is one of the things I was looking at. The other thing I looked at was, and I took action on it, right, wrong, or indifferently, but I did. They talked about they're doing a anniversary, 50th anniversary thing, and I asked Ross, our person for the city that has our IT department, to contact the Department of Human Rights. They're going to broadcast on TV. Okay, TPT, Twin Cities Public Television, will air 3 30-minute television documentaries for broadcast on public television across the state. The programs will explore the history of the MDHR over the past 50 years, the future of human rights, and the role of MDHR in building on that promise, and the transformation from affirmative action to diversity and inclusion. The programs will air in June, July, and August. Please stay tuned for more information. I went ahead and requested that Ross contact the Twin Cities Public Television. We won't probably be able to get it until July, but I just felt it was out there and it was kind of a no-brainer, so I went for it. I hope I didn't go out of bounds.
Sounds great.
So I went ahead and pursued that. So that's on its way, hopefully in July. But I think it's important to educate on some basic stuff to let our community know what's out there for them to go to for a resource. You know, what do you think?
I think that I believe this was an opportunity, from what I heard, that if this body wishes to take a stronger advocacy role, you were given the green light to do that, because all these statutory cities and things, I think, are all now, after listening to Commissioner Lindsay, seem like there are a lot of political pieces, because I heard very clearly that if your local law enforcement goes and takes somebody and turns them over to ICE for anything, that would be an overstep of their jurisdiction and would find themselves with a legal dispute with the state of Minnesota. I heard it very clearly, which means agreements, I don't know if they're even necessary if we want to go forward and say this body intends to advocate for anybody who has any case whatsoever. You will be seen and you will be reported, because we have the reporting mechanisms in place. We met the two people you would report to, whether it's to Minneapolis or whether it was to St. Cloud. I think that spreading that word, you don't have to make a veiled threat, but it's basically understand that we are going to have our neighbors' backs, and if they're going to be subjected to any kind of domestic terror, for a lack of another term, that you're going to be seen, and we are going to put a very bright light on it and report any of those things, because that's our obligation. So I feel much better, because I didn't know where we were supposed to go. Do we need a legal agreement? And if that doesn't happen, I don't think it really changes the landscape at all, because I think we have now heard from the person who is in charge of this type of thing that you just have to report it. Everyone is entitled to that same protections, and ICE cannot be called by your local law enforcement. That is out of their jurisdiction. So I feel much better, but that me feeling better is not what we need. So we need to convey the message that we know the message now, and we maybe need to start advocating for that. If you here have anything, it needs to come. If we need to take that so anonymity is kept and protection is kept, so be it. Are we comfortable assuming that? Because that's where I think we are at, is if we're going to be the advocates, we need all the information to relay those complaints or suspected complaints and direct them in the right location and let them know that, you know, and let the police force know. Any violations of these things will be dealt with. And so I don't even know, I mean, you can inform the city council of what you're doing. However, the city council gave you the authority to inform, educate, and advocate, and you would be simply advocating, so.
How might something like a policing agreement work, though, in this parameter, right? We need to talk to the police to discover what are our policies, right? How might what the St. Cloud one does, and I've heard they even have a new one, how might that be different than something perhaps we could put in place? And the police could agree to it, but then does the city council still need to pass it? What are all the ins and outs of it becoming formal policy?
I kind of agree. I mean, I do agree that it would be important to know what are the police doing now, and what's their position in this? Because I agree with you too. That's what we heard from the commissioner, that those federal items don't necessarily play out on the local level. It's up to the local entities to follow through on. But what it would be good to know what the police's position is and sure. Where what they are doing. You know, in this book, when it talks about the civil engagement and meaningful engagement, I think, you know, the two goals that the Department of Human Rights has is building trust through community engagement and building trust through interactions. And that does go right back to what you said, Sean. How do we get that message out? But getting some clear message from the police of what they are doing, and then maybe we have a clear message of what the commission heard from the commissioner, can help us move forward in that.
All I think is that the agreement from St. Cloud, all that truly does in a legal sense is right. Let the citizens of St. Cloud know that the police know what their role is and they're not going to overstep their bounds.
Well, okay.
That the agreement doesn't supersede anything legally.
Right.
The thing that I'm missing is the people who are in the community who are living in fear. How are they going to get that message that they do that, have the
right? That's what we need to figure out.
Yeah.
So is there going to be like a number or an email or something like that where
contact,
we could not necessarily, you know, advertise it, but we can let it be known to our community by people attending in the Somali community, in the Hispanic community, in church communities and things. This is really the way it is. And no, the police cannot do this. But the fear is paralyzing individuals. They're not going to come out of their house. They're not going to talk about it. They want to know. They want to know that maybe there's someone there for them, but you know they're not going to come out and go forth with that. So a mechanism to get that communication going and so we can offer the reassurance and say, hey, this is what it is. Oh, this has been a violation. Well, here's how you go about making that complaint, nameless or put your name on it or not. We can do that. So it's not like we can, you know, rent a front page of the USA Today and do that.
Janelle, is there a mechanism on our website that we can reference our body and where things can go towards up the chain of command to the state? That we've got our contact in St. Cloud. We can put his information on there.
My question is, if we do make some kind of communication through the internet to the city, or it becomes part of the city record, it's public record, right? So if you got somebody sending an email to say, hey, you know, I was just harassed by the police and they threatened to turn me over to ICE for whatever reason, and they want to put that out there, get some help with it, and they do it on a city website, is it public information that anybody can look at it?
I don't want to put the cart before the horse here, but for me, I thought we were going to first decide which avenue we're going to go in. Are we pursuing a formal statutory city thing or so on? But because I believe that we should go in the way we're sort of starting to talk about it. But we have got to come up with those mechanisms. That's going to be critical to get the information
right.
out. I don't think you would report your incident through a city website. I think the contacts would be all in there. I think that's all he's suggesting.
Yeah, I'm just saying, there's a contact.
Right.
That's an avenue. They can, you know, we can also maybe put out there, if you want to contact the commission and talk to us about it, you can do that, but here's another avenue, you know, directly.
Sure, and because I'm thinking the Isaiah Group, they will now have the information and contact, and we have, we can find some of the Muslim committees that we have going on locally. They get the, I mean, we can get, I think, the information to those groups, but I think we also need to continue and establish relationships with those groups so they feel comfortable coming here, because these are some very serious things potentially.
So I mean, I agree with that. Is that the consensus of the commission that we, after what we heard from the Commissioner Lindsay, that we feel comfortable moving forward in a way not to come up with an agreement or a policing agreement? Is that the way that we want to proceed?
Well, I would say
because of what we heard from the commissioner.
If we can dispel fear without having to do that, then, because I mean, that's kind of the goal, right?
Yes. I would say yes. The goal is that there aren't people living in Willmar who are afraid to come out of their house, and if they are feeling like their human rights are violated, that they then know how to file a complaint about it.
So
I guess there's two things, really.
Do they sort of need to hear that from the chief of police then? Because I think
Would be nice.
If you facilitate a discussion between maybe the Isaiah Group and the chief of police with questions like, if I get pulled over and I'm undocumented, what's going to happen? If I report a crime and I'm undocumented, what's going to happen? So we have that sort of in stone.
Because if they don't do that,
then
you have to go to this.
Then you
because if they're going to basically not give you assurances that they're going to act the way they're supposed to. But you got to give them the opportunity to let them know. I mean, I'm a little troubled. You know, there was a great article that was passed around from our local paper today. I mean, I work with some fairly well-read people who basically, I had a comment in there about the fear factor, and they're like, well, we thought the fear is disappearing.
Right.
I'm like, well, I know that they're not the audience for what we're talking about, but eventually the whole community has to be aware of it and help police the whole thing. And so we have a daunting task to educate those that need to be educated, to build trust with those that need it, and then to go off to the Anglo-majority group and get them educated. So, I mean, I see a very large panacea. But I think eventually, if it's not going to conform, we have no choice but to go here.
Yeah.
But I think to go here first almost suggests sort of a adversarial position initially could be taken that way, maybe.
Does Isaiah have plans to talk to police?
I don't know. But I feel like that's something we could facilitate, though, right?
Yeah.
And then what other groups would we want to invite to the table for that conversation?
Well,
us.
Right.
I think Latino pastors in town, because they get really get the word out.
Just the Latino pastors or all of WAMA, do you think? I mean, because, you know, I have seen other pastors in the audience that are concerned for their parishioners here.
Yeah.
I mean, if we... Is that the route we want to go? Is having a conversation... And do we have the conversation with the police first, or is it all at the same time?
Before we go far, I would like to ask you a question. Legally, I don't know much more about legally how much power and how much guarantee do we have from the police. For example, undocumented person.
What
if you want to inform and say, hey, don't scare, be normal like before, and that person came out and want to do his job, and perhaps you put him in a hole and maybe does he have a guarantee that the local police are not going to take him? And how the communication between ICE and the local police. So people, I'm just a little bit would like to get more information about that gap, that skinny line.
Right.
How are they communicating? People, mostly, they're scared from ICE. So how can they trust the police?
That's what we want that's what we would want to try to establish in that conversation, is what's the stance of the local police? And that's what the commissioner explained to us last week, is that some of the federal mandates are not played out. It is up to the local authorities of how they work with their citizens. It isn't, you know, I mean, that doesn't necessarily, if there's a federal mandate, that doesn't have to play out exactly the same in all the communities. The local authorities can, I'm trying to explain this the best I can, they are the ones that actually follow through, but they can do it how they do it different ways. So that doesn't mean that somebody would necessarily call ICE, that a policeman would call ICE if they knew somebody was undocumented. But we want to have a conversation with the police in Willmar and probably Kandi Ohi County to see what is their stance.
Because we know from the material, the county, they're the real, they're the real sort of power holders.
Yes.
Yeah, it would be very good idea if we get more information about that.
Yeah, I agree.
Before we pass out, before we go to the community, we are in the community.
Right, we want to know what the police are going to say.
Yeah,
yes.
The position and how and the consequence and all that thing.
Yes.
And then when we feed that information from those right people who can tell us what's, and then we can pass to the community. But now, somehow, we don't know the difference between the ICE and the police. So,
right.
I would say legally, we do have the answer to that. Right. How it would play out locally, we still don't have the answer. But if you get pulled over for a traffic violation in Willmar, you're going to get a citation by your local police force for a traffic violation. That is supposed to be their jurisdiction.
Yeah.
But if they go, oh, you're illegal, I'm now going to detain you and call ICE.
You have X kind of
I've heard
papers.
that's not going to happen.
Right.
And if they do that, they have overstepped their bounds, and that is a human rights violation in the state of Minnesota. Yeah. That's what I've heard.
The commission, I think the police commission should have to come here and
make assurances.
Yeah, you know, it would be a very good if the police commission of Willmar come to us, and then he have to vomit maybe perhaps what he's feeling. And then we will get the confidence from you. So that's where the source is. So I think the police should come.
But I think we need Isaiah here as well, because it's one thing to just have this voice of, oh, here we are, right? We're the Anglo group in power and the police, right?
Right.
Because I heard about that last meeting with the police where they hoped that there'd be, say, more undocumented people there, but they were scared.
Yeah.
Right.
And they had it at, like, the Health and Human Services building.
Probably,
right.
Probably the best place.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, but, you know, the police were surprised that there was this much fear, right? So, it's sort of a hard thing, right? Because it's this potentially like undocumented not wanting to see the police, butting up against, we want to have this honest conversation.
Yeah.
We need to know more about the rules and regulations before we step forward, I think. Yeah, we have to.
I encourage you guys both to listen to the recording of Commissioner Lindsay that's on the City of Willmar website from last week, because he did do a really good job of explaining
the legal parameters.
The legal parameters.
Sure. It's very clear.
Yes.
At least to me, it was crystal clear going out of there, because we had attorneys in the audience asking questions as well, and it was they have a jurisdiction, and that is what their jurisdiction is, and if they overstep it, then they're in legal issues.
Okay.
Then those legal issues will fall on your local police force.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I don't know if our local police force are fully aware of what their jurisdiction is as well. And that's why, you know, I don't think it would hurt to put all the butts in the same room and have them talking. And if we facilitate between the police force and you have Isaiah over here, and if we can think of anybody else, another Somali group or something, most of the, some of those issues are not the same, but I mean, right. trust with the local police right. force is a good thing, no matter how you slice it. So, and I would assume, because they've been very forthright, and they even went and found a Koran translator upon this group's suggestion, that they're, and they take trainings, they're very cognizant of that, and I think that...
And he did, he went through with it, and he yeah. did, right?
Yeah. So I'm thinking,
yes.
I'm thinking that we just need to have that initial discussion and get the communication out, and then, like I said, then we have a bigger job of informing everybody.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That, yeah, I'd say we can't inform them until we know for sure yeah. how they're going to handle those situations.
Wouldn't it be great if we didn't need
yes.
a police
inquest? Yeah, definitely.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
Yeah. Because I'm saying more and more. I mean, it was very clear that these things are more political than anything. I mean, because they don't even have that jurisdiction. Why do you have to have it? But then apparently maybe some locals are
right.
taking it upon themselves to overstep their authority.
But it's always nice to have something in writing. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not saying that we need that right now, but they have something to point to. You know what I mean? Eventually, maybe someday, but I don't know that we're there. I think, like everybody's saying, we should get together with the police commission or chief and the sheriff and hear what how they want to handle it, and then, you know.
We'll probably have in writing the state law that dictates what those things are. I mean, we could ask Commissioner Lindsay for that. He can generate probably the legal document. That might be a really good idea.
Yeah,
I mean, he was telling us that, but
right.
show us the document, because that is the written document.
Right.
I would argue it exists.
That's already, yeah, that would yeah. be probably the
right
the bedrock.
And then give it to the police force. Say, here is your
walk.
This walking. Is the edict yeah. by the state.
Yeah. Well, because I think too, you know, there's these laws and you have to follow it. But what if the police? You know what I mean? What happens when the police does call ICE and it? They pick that person up, where do they go from there if, you know, they're not in agreement? Because I don't know that every police member is going to be like,
yeah,
how we feel about the subject, you know, because you are going to have those who are the other way, they're, you know, support and
sure.
get out of here type. So, like, what would happen in that situation? Which is, like, why writing would be good, just to know, like,
yeah.
you overstepped or you took control the wrong way,
yep.
so now this is what's going to happen to you as a police officer.
Exactly.
And, yeah.
I think I heard a clear message that this body would almost have an obligation to report that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we report it, but the problem is, you know, someone's going to probably get deported in the meantime. That's the...
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I totally understand that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
So I hate to sound super impatient, but how can we fast track a meeting
yeah.
like this?
Yeah, I don't think we can wait a month.
What did you say? The police chief is out until Thursday?
Mm-hmm.
And the captain?
And well, yeah.
Okay. The people that we want to invite to the table would be the police chief, the sheriff, the Isaiah group. Bashar, is there, I mean, who from the East African community would be important to be here?
I think I will invite some members. We can do that.
Okay.
So.
What about the Pastoral Association or not?
I can invite Jose from the EFRI.
And Ben Green.
Oh, yeah, Ben Green, too, yeah.
Oh, and there's some
are there others?
Too, right? The Catholic Church.
No, Pastor Jeff was in there.
Right.
Is there somebody at
Paz? United Methodist was here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't know who it is at Paz. We can figure it out, though. I think if we get a date, we can invite people.
Mm-hmm.
Are you thinking?
Well, the next scheduled meeting is May 16th. Are we wanting it before that? Or that's 3 weeks.
We can do the, maybe there's the second, and the sixth, yeah.
And we have to give them time to, you know, plan.
Right.
I mean, the other thing is that we can, I don't think it's bad if we have some specific questions that we
yeah.
can formulate so they can be prepared. Nobody wants to go into a dark room without no one's there, you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. And we can, and we want to get that statute from Commissioner Lindsay.
I think so.
We'd want to have that.
Can you email him and ask him for that?
I can.
Do you have the
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Cool.
I think there ought to be maybe people. How many of you guys are on ISAIAH and human rights?
I did some stuff with ISAIAH, but that was a while ago.
Barbara, you're more active, aren't you?
Yes, I think I am, yes.
Didn't they have a meeting recently? Did you go to? Or is there one coming up?
There's one coming up on Friday night at Paz Church.
Right.
Mainly to kind of plan, I think, this demonstration for May 1st. Mainly is what that is.
So we might recruit you to communicate with them. I'm going to be out of town Friday. So. Anyways, I could get in touch with Alexa or somebody.
And we know that looking at the materials, it has this on page 8 of the Immigrant Legal Resource Center handout. It has this section of this county policy rubric, like a 287 and a it was the stuff that I didn't necessarily know what it was. And so, you know, this idea of what's an ice hold, you know, what's a... Let's see if I can find it. Because what was on my iPad's page is different than this page. It is the county policy rubric. It's on page 5 of this. And see how it says, you know, like no ICE holds, no 287, no ICE detention contract, no ICE alerts. So it's very precise about, you know, sort of policing and their relationship with ICE.
Interesting. We're not going to know if the police captain is available until Thursday. When he's back, right? So that
and the sheriff want them at the same time.
And we want them both together. The sheriff and the police chief, I would think.
Yeah.
Because ultimately, wouldn't we love something to happen on a county level?
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, I think so. We need to make it at our next meeting that we give everybody enough time to.
Yeah, that
rather than trying to do it earlier.
That's what I'm wondering if that's
we want to have our questions.
Yeah.
Our ducks in a row.
To them ahead of time. Yeah, I think we would want to give it the questions to them ahead of time.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So that they are aware of what we want answered.
I'm just thinking beyond, and then when the questions are answered the way we want them to be answered, and hopefully everybody understands that, I think that would be a great, I'm just picturing, that would be great to put on even Rack 8 as an informational piece and have them asking, you know, maybe the answers that are the really good ones, we could even go and have them record that, because that would be a public service announcement that would be amazing to put on Rack 8, imagine. Something very productive on Rack 8, aside from
yeah. What about some sort of translation, Spanish?
That'd be good, yeah.
Have an interpreter?
Yeah, if we're going to record it and put it on Rack.
Definitely.
It'd slow things down, but then.
I don't know if I would record. Well, you can ask them. I don't know if when they come here, if it's going to be a recordable piece or not. It'd be a lot of editing. But if you picked out, you know, if we're all on the same page and they're agreeable, then they could go down, because I understand Rack 8 has to let you do whatever you want when you go in there to make a show. And you could go in there and have them.
That's why they come to you, yeah.
But then they, you know, because that'd be good. I think that'd be great to have the police chief and the sheriff sitting side by side telling the citizens that this is how they intend to police this county and the city would be very cool.
kids would be a very good.
Yeah.
I agree. Yeah, that would be good.
Yeah. I'm just a public servant. Like
oh, I know that. I know. We're trying. I know what the rules are now. Apparently, whatever you, anything goes.
Okay. So May 16th, here at 5 o'clock, when the police chief returns on Thursday, we will ask him. See if he's available that day, and we'll talk to Sheriff Hartog. And then if we verify that those two can be here, then can we get the invites out to other people?
Yep. So are we going to do this during our meeting time?
Yes.
Is that our hope?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think if it doesn't work out,
I mean, I can do, this is so important, I can.
Right.
Same. I'd be willing to switch it.
Right. I'm thinking since he's not back until Thursday, by the time we try to get schedules, it could be, out to the 16th anyway.
Yeah.
So, that will be our first priority for that meeting would be, I don't know that we could pull it together before that anyway. And then who is going to work on the questions? Who's coming up with the questions that we want to ask, or is that...
Yeah, are we going to, email, or
should we just kind of submit them to you?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep, I think so.
Like we did for Lindsay?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
That was a good format.
It might be good to ask the Isaiah group on Friday, though, too, if they have some more scenario questions.
Sure.
Yeah.
That might be specific.
Right.
Because I think they'd be vital.
No, yeah, definitely.
Sure.
Because
right.
we can come up with a lot of questions, but I mean, it's not
right.
Them.
Not like
right.
them.
They,
yeah, definitely.
They have specific
concerns.
Questions.
Yeah.
That are, yeah.
Is there a deadline? I'm Jill, the queen of deadlines, mm-hmm. that we want our questions in by?
I would say the week before by the 9th. Does that give us enough time to get it out, Janelle? Because we'll verify by Thursday or Friday, we'll try to have verification from the sheriff and the police chief.
Are you okay if they say they can't, but their next representative, or do you want specifically the chief and the sheriff?
Good question.
I mean, it's going to be tough to pull them both together, but I mean, if you're really trying to get what the direction of the forces are going to be, that be who you want, because I mean, otherwise, will the second in charge be comfortable answering some of the questions they may come up with?
Yeah.
And so maybe that's something to think about if you get the questions together to forward them to the police chief and to the sheriff before they get here as well. That way, if they have to send somebody instead, then they could give the answer for the police force, I think.
And we've met with the captain. He's very articulate.
Right, yeah. Why don't we try to have them by the 5th?
By the 5th, okay.
Yeah. By May 5th. So that will, once we verify on Thursday or Friday of this week, that gives us a week to get the questions, and then we can forward them to the officials at the beginning of that week. That will give them a week before.
Sounds good.
Is that? Okay. So that will be the primary agenda item of the May 16th meeting, tentatively based on their availability.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
So you'll let us know as soon as you know, so to speak, so then you can coordinate.
Yep. And so the Isaiah group we want to invite and invite them to submit questions or scenarios maybe. Bashar, you're going to invite?
I would invite some of the community members.
And questions, if they have specific questions for the police force, the city police and the county police.
Okay.
Ahead of time, by next Friday, May 5th.
All right.
Okay.
I'll get in touch with Alexa and Charlie Lucy.
Okay.
From the Hispanic community.
Do I send my questions to me now?
Yep.
Okay.
Are there other advocacy groups that we are missing?
Well,
I don't. I have none in mind. I'm just pondering.
Is Zach still working with the Minnesota New Americans Development Center?
I'm not sure if he is or not.
Okay.
Well, you could tell
ask him.
The Latino Service Provider meeting. They might know.
Right. Yeah. There is a When do we meet again?
Javier's out, so I'm not.
Oh, is he?
In surgery, so I don't know who to contact now.
Okay.
So it's on Wednesdays, right?
Mm-hmm.
We can figure that out. Though.
Okay.
Because, yeah, I mean, if you think of any as you brainstorm, because
right.
you really don't want to leave any group out here, because if we're going to be an advocate, you want to advocate for them all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, yeah, they're pretty well connected, that would be.
Mm-hmm. When I mean, I do go back to WAMA because people do tell pastors, priests, ministers things.
Yes.
Yeah,
I mean, and they, you know, they may know of some scenarios that they want answered.
Yeah.
And I mean, we had this discussion before that if ICE was here, the sanctuaries are the churches right now.
No, in those churches, please include the imam for the mosque as well. Yeah. So we're contacting all of the religious leaders at once.
Yes. Okay. Is there other discussion about that item? Okay. So it's tentative, but as soon as we know the schedule, we'll get that out. The questions are due by the 5th.
Go forward with the questions either way, I think.
Yep. Okay. Is there other business tonight?
I wanted to say, just to reiterate the fact that we should have an interpreter. Last week when Commissioner Lindsay was speaking, you know, we had a group in the corner here, and I kind of motioned to Charlie if she wanted to interpret. And she, at that point, she was like, no, it's okay. And I didn't know if it was okay because she was being polite or if it was okay because everybody was understanding what he was saying. So I think we need to get that established in the beginning. Thanks for a longer meeting, but I do think it's important.
Yeah, I agree.
I do too.
Mm-hmm. Do we have a way to pay for that, an interpreter? Do we have a small line item in the budget this year or not?
I don't believe so.
Okay.
Well,
I'd have to check Janelle.
I know Dennis was going to try for, $500, but I don't know if it got put in or not.
Well,
Janelle, can we
should have money
that?
Left from last year.
Let's check on that and see if there is
any.
You
didn't spend
dollars.
That much last
but
year.
I think they, Charlie, you know, she is an interpreter, so, and if she's coming as a part of the Isaiah group, maybe she would just do that. I don't know, but.
Well, the thing when you start doing it, if you're going to have someone translating Spanish, are we going to have somebody translating Somali? And and I don't know what other advocacy groups we have. Are you going to have someone translating Koran? So when you start down the road, you have to embrace the road.
I think, though, the Spanish speakers is having the most skin in the game.
Yeah.
For this issue.
Right.
Yeah. But as a Human Rights Commission, I think you also want to make sure that you are advocating for all that are in attendance all the time.
Or if when we do have our meeting and we write up whatever findings we discover or want to share with the community, maybe that would be the time to make sure we put it in multiple languages. But I don't know.
I think in sort of a request of those coming, you know, if someone needs ask if they need interpreting services or not, and let's cross that bridge when it gets. Because, I mean, it worked out the impromptu when we had two meetings ago. That worked out very well, I thought. But that was somebody's willingness to just do it.
Right.
I think that's good. The way they work, to know before the meeting is good. Because of we're going to invite people. Some of those people, they don't even speak the language.
Mm-hmm.
So do you prefer to invite people who can understand the language or anyone? If anyone, then we have to do it. But if not, then we have to bring someone who can understand the language.
I can talk to the finance director and see
if
there's money.
Yeah, and the other way to go about it, I guess, is for us to have the meeting and have the questions get the questions from the community, all members of the community, and then have another kind of means to share everything with them, maybe on Channel 8 or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was just something I wanted to bring up because of the way it went.
Well, it's a real concern. I mean, it is.
Yeah.
It is.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're going to be fearful of being in a community and then you're not being included in the interpretation of what's going on at a meeting you're attending, then that doesn't really, that increases fear too. So.
Mm-hmm. Right. Janelle is going to check with the finance director to see if we do indeed have a line item for a budget.
Well, I remember we heard
one. Well, right. I know. I remember Dennis talked about it, and we approved the budget, and we didn't look at that. I didn't look at the minutia of all of the line items, and it would be in a bigger
piece. You can put an extra zero on it.
That would be a wise use of our money, I think.
So from 10 to 100? That was short.
Had some money. That'd be a good way to use some of our money if we had them. Is there any other discussion or items for tonight? Okay. Do you have a motion to adjourn?
Barbara, I'll make a motion.
Barbara raised her hand.
And you can second it.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
This is an interesting.
Got to fight over this.
No, I want to.
You want to take over?
Okay, the meeting is adjourned.
And then I just put some notes in there and some things that I have. If you want to take it,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm moving into the shop.
I remember he said he'd be gone.
And
email. Okay.
You want to take these off.